Okay, I am back for yet another podcast. This week I wanted to talk about something involving this fanfare around Princess Kate. And you're probably thinking, why is this guy talking about this? He's a forensic pathologist. There's no crimes. How could this possibly relate to anything that he knows about? Well, most people know this that follow me, but I'm also a surgical pathologist, which means one of my primary jobs is to diagnose cancer, to put together clinical pathologic correlations for doctors. And as a result, the story is completely within my wheelhouse to discuss. But the idea that I'm getting at with this podcast here is it even appropriate for me or people like me to discuss this publicly? And I've sort of been reflecting on this over the last day or so because I'm unsure if it's a good idea. And I just kind of wanted to go through some of my thoughts with you on just the nature of how healthcare workers or physicians or pathologists should conduct themselves with regards to information that's in the public sphere. So unless you've been living under a rock, Princess Kate, Prince William's wife, the queen in waiting, she had not been really seen since Christmas. And there were some, there was a report a couple of months ago that she had went in for surgery. I think they called it abdominal surgery. And then there had been no sightings of her, and there had been really no definitive updates. And the stuff that the royal family tried to put out was questionable. I mean, I think they put a doctored photo of her out, and then there was a video of her walking with Prince William, and people didn't believe it was her. And then finally she came out this week and she talked about what was going on. And in some ways I think this is unfortunate because I don't really think this woman wanted to have to come out and make like a public statement on camera. Because think about it, the only reason she's doing it is because the public is demanding it. And then the question becomes, what right do we have? And I'm going to get into that. But, you know, I think that people, all of us, if something is in the public sphere, we sort of, whether consciously or unconsciously, we take an ownership of it. And people treat celebrities and athletes and royals as their property. Like, this is in my mind, I'm interested in it, and now I need to know everything about it, regardless of privacy issues. And in some very small way, I experience this just being online as one of the few forensic pathologists who discuss medicine and pathology online. I have people who message me demanding that I help them with their case, with their family member's case. Or I have people who are dissatisfied with the amount that I'm posting. And so then they will, leave a comment, and it's sort of that, that idea of that dance monkey dance, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm here for your entertainment, but I'm not a real person in your mind. And I think that's why people get so wrapped up with entities like the royal family. But let's speak specifically about this incident. I'm going to tell you that when this all came out, that she had abdominal surgery a couple of months ago, I did make a public post on the Threads. It's it's the Facebook version of Twitter, basically. And I said something to the effect that I'm worried because of how nebulous the description was. And in other words, I don't think it was just a routine little hernia surgery, just the way that they phrased it. So I did make a public statement at that point, and I did have some people who were angry with me, in my comments or whatever. you know, kind of like I shouldn't comment on it or I shouldn't speculate. And the truth is, I wasn't really speculating because it's not like I said she had an alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma of the, you know, aorta, you know, just based on my this one article. I was just saying that I'm a little worried that there's something more to this. Well, then the weeks go on and then people start developing these conspiracy theories that she's been replaced, she's dead, she's had plastic surgery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out that none of that was true. And that, in fact, she, like I said, in her little statement that she came out and made, she has been battling with cancer. She has had surgery and then apparently chemotherapy. So what role do physicians have, do people on social media have in this case? And this isn't as clear cut as you might think it is, because you've got people who, if you comment on it, they are enraged and they'll say, this is a HIPAA violation. And they always spell it wrong. And they always spell it H-I-P-P-A because they don't actually know what it is. And they believe that any discussion of any medical condition of somebody else online is actually a violation, and we should be arrested and beheaded publicly and gibbeted, you know, until our corpse rots and people can walk past and throw food at our corpse. So those people don't really understand the nature of reality, because the truth is, from a legal perspective, anything printed in public media can be commented on by anybody, including physicians. So if I really wanted to comment and speculate on Princess Kate, I could, and there wouldn't be anything illegal. But I'm not really talking about legality here. I'm talking more about, is it appropriate for us to do this? Would it be appropriate if it wasn't someone famous? I don't really think it would, because, you know, if you see your neighbor and your neighbor says, you know, I'm going to the doctor, I'm not feeling good, and you notice that they're losing weight, and you notice that maybe they even lose their hair, they're wearing a wig, you might know that, yeah, it looks like they've got cancer. But is it appropriate to ask them? Is it appropriate to speculate with the other neighbors? It really isn't. And that's what we're doing with this Princess Kate case. And I have to tell you, I'm not lecturing. I'm not taking a high and mighty approach on this, because I, in my own mind, because I am a pathologist, I have speculated what it could be. I have thought about it. And it's for me, it's natural. Because of the nature of my job, that's where my mind goes first. And so I had the idea to do this podcast because yesterday I made another post on Threads, and I was, in some ways, I was kind of gloating because everyone got mad that I had mentioned that I was worried, because they wanted it to be a big cheating scandal with Prince William. They wanted it to be something tawdry. They wanted it to be something salacious, and it wasn't. So I, being petty, I had to kind of gloat a little bit. And unfortunately, there were some people who thought I was gloating because she had cancer. Now, again, a lot of people on the internet have the reading comprehension of a kindergartner, so that's not surprising. But, you know, I was getting attacked a little bit for something that was just me saying, maybe you should trust an expert when they say something like this. I did not speculate on what she had or, you know, what I thought was really going on in terms of her prognosis. But I decided to delete that series. It was, I think, one or two little threads there. I deleted it because as I reflected on it in the afternoon, I thought, you know, I think this might be kind of inappropriate for me to speculate. So then I go to the local news, not the local news, the usual news that I read online. And so, you know, media outlets like MSNBC or just, you know, whatever pops up on Yahoo News or whatever pops up on CNN. And I noticed not only there, but also online, all social media, including TikTok, obviously, lots of people putting their two cents in about what this could be, what she could be facing. And I just thought about it for a second and I'm like, this is dumb. Because if she, you know, if she had an abdominal/pelvic surgery for something, that was supposed to be routine, and then they found out that it was cancer, which is kind of what she describes in her statement. Sounded like it was a surprise. There are so many different things it could be that it's actually not worth speculating. And I'll tell you what I mean. If you were to roll dice and you were to say, what could it be just based on age, based on ethnicity, based on this, this, and this, you can come up with a list of most commons. And it's going to look like the most commons if you were to just type into the American Cancer Society or whatever cancer statistics. However, it could be something not on that list. It could be rare. It could be leiomyosarcoma or something, and something really unusual. So I found it to be sort of useless to speculate. But I had to balance that with the fact that there's so much rampant incorrect speculation. Would my voice as a person who actually does this kind of work help temper that? And ultimately, I chose silence. I don't really think it's a great idea. And this is just my opinion. If you're a doctor or you're a nurse or you're somebody who wants to give your opinion online, I'm not telling you not to. But it just felt like it would come across as some sort of attempt at monetizing someone else's suffering. And that is one thing that I personally am against. Now, my job is one that takes care of people who are suffering. So I don't actively sit there and I'm not feeding chicken soup to people while they're dying, but my job is diagnosing sometimes deadly diseases. I mean, the job of the pathologist is to diagnose, surgical pathologist is to diagnose cancer. That is a big part of our job. And then on the forensic side, there's also a lot of suffering because you have people who die sudden and unexpectedly and tragically, and you have family members who are suffering. So I try to frame my social media teaching and in a way that's educational but not exploitative. And I felt like with a situation like Princess Kate, there's no possible way that I could address this issue without seeming exploitative, because I did notice this on certain media outlets. You know, they had their usual media doctors that come on, the same three people that talk on all these cases, the same people online on TikTok and things like that. And I personally don't care. If they want to do it, I'm not going to criticize them, but I'm telling you that I personally, if I was teaching a group of medical students and residents, I would actually tell them, unless you have something specific to talk about, it's probably best not to speculate. And now, sometimes I have done that. And if you followed my TikTok or my Instagram or one of those, sometimes I will, if it's a case where there's a ton of misinformation up front. I don't really think there's a ton of misinformation with Kate's case. I mean, she has said, I went in for this procedure. They found it was cancer. Now I'm getting treated for cancer. But if you think about something like Bob Saget, I always bring this one up because this is the one that is, they are just still claiming conspiracy on Bob Saget. He was murdered and, you know, whatever. And then Lisa Marie was the other one. Lisa Marie Presley was a big one. Ivana Trump was a big one, where all of these were murders, in the public eye. And I thought, okay, you know, I can add to this and explain the forensics of why these cases aren't murders and why they are ruled the way that they are. But, you know, so in some ways, there is a bit of speculation on my part because I'm using my expertise to interpret the way that the case is being investigated. And I think that's appropriate, actually. But when you've got a person who's actively dealing with a cancer, they don't want to say what it is. Therefore, I am not going to say what it is. So you can subscribe to the Darren Wolf school of social media, in which I don't think it's a good idea to speculate on someone's health if they are not actively talking about what it could be. At least, and I'm sure that people listening to this might scroll through my social media and they might find posts where I have done that. But I try not to. And number two, sometimes we learn, even with me being nearly five decades old, sometimes we learn and we decide to change. We hope we can change even as we're getting older. And going forward, I feel like I've personally learned a lesson on this case, even though I didn't really do anything inappropriate here. I just kind of had to think about it for a few hours, because I was thinking about making a TikTok video or putting up an Instagram story and basically saying, hey, you know, I was right and this is what it could be. And then it just hit me that's going to seem very exploitative, because there are people online who their accounts are designed to make money based on these type of events. And certainly if I had made a TikTok on this, it would have gotten a million views plus. But I would rather not have that. I would rather not have that and feel like I'm profiting on someone's suffering. So again, if you like that sort of thing, and I'm not saying you like suffering, but if you like to dig into the details and try to speculate and stuff, I'm not judging you. It's just not something that I really want to do. And I think it would be good practice for people who want to become doctors or nurses or other healthcare professionals, people who are in medical school or nursing school right now, or active physicians. I think you just have to take a second to think about how it's going to be perceived and is it useful. And I'm almost done here. This is a very short podcast, and I absolutely did not script any of this. I am literally doing this in one take, just kind of talking on what I've been thinking about this morning. But one thing that has gotten a little bit irritating for me about social media, especially in the medical creator space, is that we're all reading news. I mean, physicians tend to read lots of news. I don't know any doctor that doesn't read like a ton of news every day. That's why many of us are interested in things like politics or sports or other topics, because we're constantly reading all the news. And what I've noticed just in the last probably 6 months or so is that, let's say a particular story comes up, and it's a person who uses a neti pot to clean out their nose, and then they get an acanth amoeba or some kind of Naegleria brain amoeba, and they die. Within seconds of the story breaking, all of those medical creators, sometimes including me in the past, will try to make that story first, because the first person to make that video often is the person who goes viral. And I'm sort of sick of that competitive type aspect of it. We're all scrolling news. Oh my gosh, this looks like a great story. I better get online and make a video about this. I guess my opinions about the way we're using social media is changing in real time. Because if you look at my videos from, let's say, a year ago or 2 years ago, I had a series that I called Cases in the News. And when I would see one of these, I would automatically make a video. I might be sitting in my car, I might be outside for a walk, and I would be like, oh my God, I have to make a video right now. And I'm just sort of, I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of aging out of that a little bit, maybe. I don't like the feeling of being like a news reporter that's trying to break a story. I'm a doctor, I'm a pathologist. I like to teach people more than anything, because I think that we're going to learn more if more people understand the way that their bodies work than using some person who's suffering or had a family member die online. Had a family member die and then going online and sort of using that as some kind of clout. And believe me, there are a lot of blue check doctors right now online, and that is a big part of their shtick. And again, I understand it's because that they have developed trust. People trust their opinion, and I would imagine there are probably a lot of people who trust my opinion. But it's just not a game that I feel like playing anymore. And certainly, if you ever train under me or with me, I'm going to try to impose those values on you. I just feel like it's so different, you know, because when I went through medical school, you know, the internet existed. I'm not quite that old, but we certainly weren't all walking around with smartphones and social media apps at that time. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I think I had a Palm Pilot, which is sort of like a precursor to the iPhone. But it obviously was not something that you could get online and make updates in real time like you can now. So I think that's all I wanted to say. I hope you understand. I will be curious of your comments. And you may disagree with me, and that's totally fine. I'm just telling you where I stand as a quote-unquote creator in the medical space. And if you want to give me a comment, you can message me at Instagram if you want. It's The Dead Letter. I'm also at TikTok, The Dead Letter, although my direct messages there are honestly very messed up. For some reason, I will see messages that are very old that come in and then I suddenly can see them, or I will respond to people and then they never get the message. So TikTok is not a great place to message me. And right now, of course, I've been pushing my Substack, which is Dr. Darren Wolf. And that is a place where I'm actively teaching medicine, pathology, anatomy, physiology, and making regular updates on both the paid side and the free side. So you get free posts every week if you want to subscribe to that. But I also do paid posts. I think the ratio is probably something like 4-3 on paid versus non-paid. So there's still plenty to learn there. And my YouTube, a lot of people say, well, what happened to YouTube? But I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of YouTube's interface, and I really don't know where that channel is going in the future, because everything that I need to do online, I can do it easier at Substack and at TikTok. So I'll probably make a video or two for YouTube, but I think YouTube is much better for instructional type work. So for instance, if I'm going to show you how I personally dissect and gross in a kidney as a surgical path, I think YouTube is great for that. But if I'm just sort of spouting my little 5-minute opinions like I am now, although I'm about 22 minutes at this point, I don't know. I just don't really like YouTube for that. So if you're interested, you can do all that. You can find me. I'm very easy to find. And I'll be curious on your thoughts if you have any for this particular topic. And you can also suggest topics if you want. I just kind of do whatever comes to me in the moment. I sit down with my mic and I record. And so far, I think it's working out pretty well. So thanks again for listening. And I'll see you next time.